So are you ready
for your show? Hola, baby. Soy Little Steven. Bienvenido a Little Steven's Underground Garage and Rock FM.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Hola, familia. Buenas noches. Soy Carlos Medina y juntos nos disponemos a despedir el fin de semana al ritmo que nos vaya marcando Little Steven. Tanto es así que esta noche nos embarcaremos en un viaje fascinante, la vida del escritor Jack Kerouac, uno de los grandes pioneros de lo que vendría a llamarse como la generación beat. Pero antes de partir, le damos la bienvenida a nuestro guía turístico favorito. Buenas noches, Little, y arrancamos el Underground Garage, por supuesto, con la mejor banda sonora. Ellos son The Jay Gales Band. Con la banda de Boston comienza el show y concretamente con la canción Cruising for a Love. Buenas noches, familia. Arranca el Underground Garage aquí en Rock FM.
Americana, New Hampshire, of pink suspenders, strawberry blondes, and barbershop quartets came the ancestors. Down from Quebec, in the French-Canadian section of Nashua, Leo, the newspaper reporter and typesetter, met Gabrielle, the orphan shoe factory worker. They married and moved 14 miles down the Merrimack River to the textile and tenement town of Lowell, Massachusetts, where three children were born, Gerard, Caroline, and Jean. Jean, who would eventually be called Jack, was born in the upstairs bedroom of a frame house on Lupine Road, March 12, 1922, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. A rosy late winter sundown suffused the natal chamber with a pink glow that Jack would later recall. I perceived it through beads hanging in the door and through lace curtains and glass of a universal sad lost redness of mortal damnation. The snow was melting. Jack would devour, make love to, and push to new limits a language called English, which he wouldn't speak until he was 5 years old, and after the most important event of his life had passed, the death of his older brother Gerard. Jack looked up to Gerard the way all younger brothers do, in spite of his rheumatic fever that made him a virtual invalid his entire short-lived life. Jack's idealistic love of his brother had an additional religious dimension due to the natural saintliness Gerard possessed. Gerard would bring home hungry children, speak to the birds in the windowsill like St. Francis, free mice from traps, and when the shelves rattled and shook for no reason in the house, he would speak to the ghosts who he said lived under it, and the shaking would stop. Jack could never shake the idea that he had betrayed God by not dying in Gerard's place. But that was not his destiny, and his Uncle Joe told him, "You are destined to be a man of big sadness and talent. It will never help to live or die. You'll suffer like the others, probably more." By seventh grade, he was in an all-English class and the world would open up. Mark Twain, Jack London, William Saroyan, Thomas Wolfe, Ernest Hemingway, Walt Whitman, Damon Runyon, and later Dashiell Hammett and James M. Cain. He'd always loved football, but he would become a writer. An imagination full of adventure and a hunger to escape his rueful dreams of rust and loss would show up in his earliest attempt at a novel at age 11. He would write, "He started out in the swamps of the Merrimack somewhere and went floating down further and further into lighter, stranger, greener, ever-expanding adventures that must and do ultimately take you to a flat marsh by the sea. Great ears of corn along a waving grass veldt, scents of something, smoke of a city, something mad and wild and far, far gone from the tangled, viney place where you started when the dream began." Yeah, there it is, 11 years old. The same basic story of a tantalizing power that removes one from humdrum existence and takes one on a remarkable voyage can be found underlying everything he would write for the next 25 years. His desperate need to escape, combined with a guilt-ridden passion to confess and a profound compulsion to communicate the rare moments of life's joyfulness, while all the while drinking away the ever-present haunting of the specter of death, would create art that would liberate Western culture. Jack Kerouac's On the Road would accomplish nothing less than changing our consciousness forever.
Thank you. Oh, let me hear say it. Take my way, that's the highway, that's the best.
This is Lawrence Ferlinghetti, and you're listening to Little Steven's Underground Garage, the Coney Island of radio.
Everything came out of the horn. No more phrases, just cries. Cries. Bah! And down to beep, and up to ee, and down to clinkers, and over to sideways, echoing horn sounds and horse laughs. And he tried everything, up and down and sideways, upside down, dog fashion, horizontal, 30 degrees, 40 degrees, and finally he fell back in somebody's arms and gave up, and everybody pushed around and yelled, "Yes, yes, he done blowed that one."
Are you going to stand there and tell me Shakespeare could have written his works better in jive talk?
Yes, sir. Are you familiar with Shakespeare's funeral oration?
No, but I was very familiar with a girl in one of Shakespeare's company at one time.
Good translation for you.
Well, I certainly wish you would. And give us an example.
I could do an inch and a half of the Friends Romans Countrymen.
I would love it.
In Hip, it blows this way. It says, "Hipsters, flipsters, and finger, pop in daddy's, knock me your lobes."
That means give me your ears, I presume. All I can say is that it's a good thing that Shakespeare's dead. And if he'd been alive to hear it, that would have killed him.
Right. He passed me at the knee, then I started to smirk, but I pulled around. last thing I remember, Doc, I started to swerve. And then I saw the Jag slide into the curve. I know I'll never forget that horrible sight. I guess I found out for myself that everyone was right.
Won't come back from dead man's curve.
Welcome to the Underground Garage celebration of legendary writer Jack Kerouac. His birthday is this week, March 12th. We're going to be talking about him, his Beat Generation buddies, and of course his amazing book, On the Road, which arguably changed the world. I would be on the positive side of that argument. Quite a literary fellow himself, Peter Wolf, kicked us off. J. Giles Band, Cruising for Love. The whole band wrote it on their first album. Dave Crawford and Brad Shapiro producing. The Rolling Stones covering Bobby Troup, but really they were covering Chuck Berry. Chuck Berry's version of Nat King Cole's hit of a Bobby Troup song, to be precise. We found the origin of that riff, by the way. The Stones, of course, as usual, doing their amazing arranging. They are the absolute kings of the cover record, and we've done whole shows on that. But the riff, which does exist on the Chuck Berry version, more of a Johnny Jones piano riff in the beginning, we found it in the third verse of the Nat King Cole version. It is Nat accompanying himself on piano, and right before the end, in the third verse, he starts playing that riff. That famous riff, which Chuck Berry picked up on, or Johnny Jones picked up on, and the Rolling Stones turned it into the classic. It's funny listening back now how clearly Nat King Cole says the names of the cities. We would have given big bucks when I was a kid to have heard that version. It took us weeks and maybe months till someone in the band had the brains to actually take out a map. Because we couldn't understand any of the cities, you know, with the way Mick Jagger said them. And finally somebody took out a map. Yeah, I know it seems obvious now. What can I say? I mean, The Sonics, How Love Will Travel. Yeah, Buck, Hornsby, and Kent Morrow. They themselves members of the Wailers, and Richard Berry following up his Louie Louie with that one. Superfly Terraplane, These Are Disciples of Soul. The new album is Summer of Sorcery, coming in May. Pre-order it right now at littlesteven.com. Co-produced by Mark Ribbler and Jeff Sanoff. Mixed and mastered by the Two Bobs. And odds are somebody in your neighborhood is playing on this record. The amazing Junior Walker and the All-Stars. I guess one of the very few Motown hits that was not the Funk Brothers. If you haven't seen that Standing in the Shadows of Motown, I recommend it. I didn't need the contemporary people singing those songs myself, but you can kind of fast forward through them. There's a couple of good ones, don't get me wrong. I mean, Gerald LaVert is actually quite good, and Joan Osborne, and, you know, they're good, but who cares? You know, I want to hear the vocal. You just listen to the record. I want to hear from the guys. I want to hear from, you know, how they made those records. And I could use a little bit more information about that, starting with the arrangers. Listen up, anybody who is a Motown researcher, fanatic, I need to know the arrangers of every single Motown song. That should be listed somewhere. We need to know that. And it is not listed anywhere that we can find. But I digress. Where was I? Dead Man's Curve, I believe. Yes, we were in L.A. where Motown sadly ended up. Jan and Dean also rather sadly ended up on Dead Man's Curve, ironically. Jan, anyway. We're celebrating Jack Kerouac. Get out your bongos, baby. We're going to go to commercial with the Nat King Cole version. In that last verse, we play the riff.
Won't you get hip to this timely tip? When you make that California trip, get your kicks on Route 66. Get your kicks on Route 66. Get your kicks on Route 66.
Estás en Rock FM escuchando el Underground Garage de Little Steven. Esta noche nuestro protagonista es el estadounidense Jack Kerouac, uno de los escritores que formaron parte del movimiento literario conocido como Generación Beat. Con ello se hace referencia al fenómeno cultural del mismo nombre surgido en la década de los 50 en Estados Unidos y que rechazaba abiertamente los valores sociales clásicos del país, promulgaba una gran libertad sexual, el uso de drogas y el estudio de la filosofía oriental. Estos y otros elementos darían lugar más tarde al movimiento hippie. Nuestro protagonista nació en Lowell, en Massachusetts, un 12 de marzo de 1922. Hijos de padres franco-canadienses, tenía un hermano y una hermana mayor. La infancia de Kerouac no fue sencilla. Con 6 años perdió a su hermano a causa de la fiebre reumática, hecho que le marcaría de por vida y que además reflejó en su obra Visiones de Gerard. A raíz de esta pérdida, su padre los abandonó y su madre buscó refugio en el catolicismo. De ello se deriva la devoción de Kerouac hacia el desarrollo de sus inquietudes espirituales. Siendo ya adulto, estudió y practicó el budismo. Pero antes de aquello pasó por el Boston College con una beca concedida por sus habilidades en el deporte, concretamente en el fútbol americano, y esto además le daría paso a la universidad. Aquí comienza realmente nuestro viaje. Enseguida continuamos, pero antes nos quedamos con Little Steven. Dale, maestro.
Well, man, well, I belong to the B generation. I don't let anything trouble my mind. I belong to the B generation, and everything's going just fine.
Weirdsville, yeah.
Some people say I'm lazy and my life's a wreck, but that stuff doesn't
pay me. Welcome back to the Underground Garage celebration of Jack Kerouac, born Jean-Louis Lebris du Kerouac. Yeah, nice Italian boy. The 50s were all about conforming. What was an upstanding citizen of the 50s supposed to feel? Gratitude, that's what. Gratitude because we won World War II. Gratitude because we had just invented the suburbs and everybody could have a house, because we had just invented credit. They could have a house and a car or two. There was money, there was peace, sort of. There was security. We were number one. So we invented a middle class, and I tell you what, we'll throw in an Elvis or two to keep you kids happy, huh? What do you say? Well, into all this gratitude comes two guys named Allen Ginsberg and William Burroughs, and they are not grateful. They are, in fact, natural-born troublemakers. The two befriend young Jack Kerouac, who had come to Columbia University on a football scholarship, but had dropped out and become attracted to Alan and William's bohemian sensibility in the search for a new philosophy. The three had some things in common. They were born disillusioned for 3 different reasons, as it turned out, but shared a common distrust for the nicely packaged life society was offering. It was Kerouac who suggested the radical possibility of just walking away. Regardless of what obligations, responsibilities, and guilt society tried to stick you with, you can just get in your terraplane and fly. The Beat Generation was born. Together, they anticipated most everything that would characterize the 60s. 10, 15 years later. Buddhism, meditation, and all things Eastern philosophy. Ecological concerns, civil rights, drugs of all kind, sex of all kind, autobiographical art, a rejection of materialism, and a rejection of the common definitions of time and space. Ginsberg's Howl and Burroughs' Naked Lunch would complete the trilogy of the new style, but Kerouac's On the Road would reach the public. And for the first time, a new generation would experience the revelation of unlimited possibilities.
So pretty. America, when will we end the human war? I don't feel good. Don't bother me. I won't write my poem till I'm in my right mind. America, when will you be angelic? When will you take off your clothes? When will you look at yourself through the grave? When will you be worthy of your million Trotskyites? America, why are your libraries full of tears? America, when will you send your eggs to India? I'm sick of your insane demands. When can I go into the supermarket and buy what I need with my good looks?
Jim Carroll, and you're with Little Steven in the Underground Garage, saluting Jack Kerouac.
Continue our on-the-road theme with Ramblin' Gamblin' Man Bob Seger's best record, credited to the Bob Seger system at that point, in 68. Punch Andrews himself producing. Bob never made a better record than that. And it was like his, fourth single, something like that? We play them all. We play all those early singles by Bob. They are great garage rock singles. Friday on My Mind from the Weaklings featuring Peter Noon. Peter sounding fantastic. Marty Scott produced it. Harry Vanda and George Young wrote it, obviously, for the Easy Beats. Get it from theweaklings.com. The Beatles Drive My Car. Mostly Paul McCartney, a little bit of John Lennon in the composition. Ringo Starr on the cowbell. One of my favorite Beach Boys records, Cherry Cherry Coop. It was not a hit. It wasn't even a B-side, I don't think. You know, usually we find some cool B-sides, but this one, just an album track. Spectacular. Celebrating the cat that changed the world, really. Jack Kerouac. We're going to go to the break with the original writer of Route 66's version, Bobby Troup.
If you ever plan to board a bus, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to LA, more than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks.
Esto es Little Steven's Underground Garage. Volvemos en un segundo. En Rock FM.
Hola, soy Alex Clavero, el francotirador. Mis amigos dicen que me quejo de vicio. Como si eso fuese algo malo.
Perico de los Palotes era un chaval que era muy tonto. Podéis decir que tenía dos baquetas y tocaba un tambor, que esto no lo sabía. En España era más famoso que John Bonham, ¿eh? O sea, era... A mí se me veía gente más tonta que Perico, que era Abundio. En esta época abundían mucho los tontos, ¿eh? Lo digo también. Ves menos que Pepe Leches. Pepe Leches era un guardia municipal que controlaba las calles y veía muy mal. Y tenía la mano muy suelta. A la mínima que veía jaleo, ¡zasca! Y daba al que pillaba, le daba igual. Oía jaleo, ¡zasca! ¡El afilador, ¡zas! Que no veía ni torta, ¿eh?
Mañana vuelvo a las 9:10. Pero si te has quedado con ganas de más, en rockfm.fm tienes el podcast.
Cada mañana de 6 a 10, rock y diversión en Rock FM con el Pirata y su banda.
Somos Rock FM.
Rock FM presenta Adiós Tequila en vivo. Por fin, el primer disco en directo de su carrera.
¡Buenas noches!
El último de su historia.
Vamos a tocar rock and roll.
Adiós Tequila en vivo. Un doble CD más DVD que recoge su concierto de despedida en Madrid. Los clásicos con invitados de lujo. Fito.
No quiero ir al cine, no quiero poner la tele.
Leiva.
Hace calor,
M-Clan.
Lo que necesito es un trago.
Y más.
Para poderme estabilizar, Madrid.
Adiós Tequila en vivo. Los himnos de una generación. Ya a la venta.
¡Adiós!
Estás escuchando Little Steven's Underground Garage en Rock FM.
Sigues en el Underground Garage de Rock FM. Esta noche, Little Steven se ha propuesto recorrer la vida de uno de los grandes escritores estadounidenses, el señor Jack Kerouac. Nos habíamos quedado en el momento en que Kerouac abandona la universidad. Entonces, decidió mudarse con su pareja a Nueva York, donde conocería a otros autores como Allen Ginsberg, Neil Cassady o William S. Burroughs, entre otros, todos ellos narradores de aquella generación beat. Entre 1942 se unió a la Marina Mercante y un año después de esa fecha a la Marina de los Estados Unidos, aunque fue descartado 8 días después tras ser diagnosticado de personalidad esquizoide, de modo que fue un paso fugaz. Sin embargo, estando en la Marina Mercante escribió su primera novela, El mar es mi hermano, que no fue publicada hasta el año 2011. Desde entonces siguió escribiendo hasta que llegó el momento de su gran obra, El camino. Fue concebida entre 1948 y 1949 en su mayor parte y terminada en el 51. En parte autobiográfica, en la novela se narran los viajes que Kerouac emprendió con un grupo de amigos entre Estados Unidos y México durante 3 semanas y que mitificó aquella Ruta 66. El camino es considerada como la novela definitiva de la generación beat y a su autor como el nuevo Charlie Parker. Música y prosa se unen en una perfecta y orquestada improvisación. La novela terminó de escribirla en 3 semanas y su resultado fue lo que él mismo conocía como el rollo. Y es que resulta que es así como la escribió, en un rollo de papel sin párrafos ni márgenes. Hoy día ese rollo es propiedad de James Israel, propietario de un equipo de fútbol estadounidense. La fama le llegó prácticamente al instante con la publicación de El Camino, algo que no casaba muy bien con la personalidad de Jack Kerouac. Enseguida te lo cuento. Pero antes, nos quedamos con nuestro guitarrista favorito. Dale, Little.
Everything is going to the beat. It's the beat generation. It's Bayat. It's the beat to keep the beat of the heart. It's like being beaten down the world and like old time low down. And like in ancient civilizations, the slave boatmen rowing galleys to a beat and servants spinning pottery to a beat like beatific. Welcome back to the Underground Garage. Tribute to Jack Kerouac. Beat culture is the avant-garde circus populated by hustlers, swindlers, whores, hobos, rogues, charlatans, bebop jazz players, aimless travel, outlaw values, freaks, misfits, and outcasts all engaged in the mysterious making of art. You know, as in the art of life. And speaking of freaks, misfits, and outcasts, out there in radio land, there is a format called Outlaw Country. And way deep in Outlaw Country is a renegade named Mojo Nixon, no relation to Dick. Let's hear how he feels about Jack Kerouac.
Mojo Nixon broadcasting from the Shack by the Sea in Coronado, California. Outlaw Country. Friends, I know it's cold where you are. Oh, I know you're freezing your ass off and there's nothing on TV. You know what you might do? You might read a good book. On a cold winter night, you might sit down with a good book. You only read one book, the one book you got to read. On the Road by Jack Kerouac. Friends, it was on this date in 1957. That's the birth of cool. The beginning of beatnik. The nasty note from the underground that blows the puny minds of all the petty bourgeoisie in Squaresville. Man, On the Road is a wild, crazy, free, liberating book about sex, cars, jazz, drugs, truth,
friendship, and America. Two psychic outlaws on the go reading Henry Miller and Mad Magazine. Iconoclastic nonconformist hipsters who refuse to be squashed by the man and forced to smoke the devil's pole. Read On the Road and feel alive. Read On the Road and feel the wanderlust of the wide open American frontier. Read On the Road and know that we are all uncouth delinquents, ruffians, roustabouts, and hoodlums. Hopped up on goofballs and revolution and ready to open the doors of perception, my friend. On the Road changes everything. The monster is unleashed. The hollering homosexual Hebrew Allen Ginsberg writes how the gonzo beat poem of all time that begins, I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness, starving hysterical naked upon Negro streets at dawn. William Burroughs writes Naked Lunch, which leads to Charles Bukowski and Tom Waits drinking in some dive bar downtown L.A. Lawrence Ferlinghetti's Coney Island States of Mind infects Ken Kesey, Tom Wolfe, and Hunter S. Thompson. Lenny Bruce brings forth Richard Pryor, who begets Bill Hicks, who spawns Chris Rock. On the Road single-handedly leads to the Beatles taking acid at Cary Grant's house and Abbie Hoffman raining money from the balcony of the New York Stock Exchange. Charlie Parker and Thelonious Monk, Norman Mailer and Nick Toshes, the MC5 and The Clash, Jackson Pollock and Marlon Brando, Johnny Cash and David Allan Coe are all children of that frog Canadian Kerouac and his demented, delirious, and defiant book, On the Road. If you only read one book for the rest of your life, this is the book to read, my friends. If the mortgage and the man are sucking the life out of you like vampires of conformity, get some cool kicks and bust out of Nowheresville, cat, by laying some eyeballs down on that swinging gone great American novel, On the Road, Daddy-O.
Your man, come, oh, I'm going with my baby. man was a bread stasher all his life. He never got fat. He wound up with a used car, a 17-inch screen, and arthritis. Tamari is a drag, man. Tamari is a king-size bust. They cry, put down pot, don't think a lot. For what? Time, how much, and what to do with it. Sleep, man, and you might wake up digging the whole human race, giving itself 3 days to get out. Tomorrow is a drag, pops. The future is a flake.
Tell me, do you find that you are criticized by your peers in speaking the jazz idiom?
Well, like, who's to say what's normal, man?
Oh, yes.
It's just like with them great jazz poets like Ira Gitlin, Nat Hentoff, and Lawrence Marble, Kenny Drew, and Leroy Vinnegan, Miles Davis, and Herb Cain. Just like what all them cats say, man.
And what do they say?
I don't know, but I dig dropping all them names.
Yeah.
This song's about my mom and dad. You see, they had a bit of a problem. Between alcohol and crack cocaine. I know it was the 80s, but these motherfuckers.
Hey, Daddy-O. This is Ed Kookie Burns, and you are in the right place at the right time. I'm talking about the wigged-out swanctification of the ginchiest scene in Radioland, Underground Garageville.
he's a highway check.
That Mojo Nixon gets over his shyness, he's going to be all right. A little bit introverted to be a radio DJ, but once he comes out of his shell, I have faith that he's going to be quite a talented broadcaster. Jenny, Take a Ride. Mitch Ryder in the Detroit Wheels. We are looking at a picture of the single where it credits Richard Penniman, of course, Little Richard. Enotris Johnson, who we have spoken about before, who happens to be Little Richard's father. And Bob Crewe, which frankly I do not understand. The song starts off with C.C. Rider, which most of the time gets credited to Ma Rainey. So she's getting screwed completely here. And Bob Crewe, Bob, one of the great producers of all time. We celebrate him regularly. I don't get that one. Down on the Boulevard. Cool record, don't you think? The Pop. Okay, cool record. Stupid name. What can I tell you? That's why you never heard of him since. Fabulous record, though.
Leon the Hustler from the Shabooms. Their debut album, The Blurred Odyssey. Al Ruiz and Ms. Bren wrote it, and Alan Armitage produced it. Get it from limitedfanfare.com.
Dee Dee Sharp out of the Cameo Parkway stable, one of the great underrated record labels. Dave Appel and Cal Mann writing that one. Dee Dee was a background singer and 17 years old when she hit with Mashed Potatoes, Mashed Potato Time. Cal Mann and Bernie Lowe, the third of the Cameo Parkway Trinity, changed her name to Dee Dee Sharp because, yeah, she's sagging Dee Sharp. She would later marry Kenny Gamble of Gamble and Huff, who created Philadelphia International Records, unfortunately, as far as I'm concerned, but that's just me. I don't like anything out of there. Anyway, Highway Child, Jimi Hendrix Experience, B-side of The Wind Cries Mary on track. Jimmy wrote it, Chaz Chandler producing, and we'll be back with our coolest song in the world this week. We're going to go to the break with Chuck Berry's version of Route 66 from the beginning so you can hear the riff.
If you ever plan to motor west, Jack, take my way. It's the highway that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. Well, it winds from Chicago to L.A.
Llegó el momento de hacer un alto en el camino, nunca mejor dicho, esta noche, y es que es hora de detenernos en el Underground Garage de Rock FM en la canción más chula de la semana. Este es uno de nuestros clásicos y esta noche nos plantamos en California para conocer a una banda con aires de Beatles y música surf. Ellos también se definen como puro sonido California mezclado con el espíritu de la invasión británica. The Wrecking Crew es la canción más chula de la semana y nos la presentan esta noche en el show de Little Steven de Hathaways.
Welcome back to the Underground Garage celebration of Jack Kerouac, where we do swing weekly. Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay paid $2.43 million for the 120-foot scroll that Kerouac pieced together from 12-foot sheets of teletype paper, on which he wrote On the Road in 20 consecutive days, April 2nd to April 22nd, 1951. It would have no paragraphs and be what he would call his spontaneous writing style, stream of consciousness-like. It was his third draft and the one influenced by Neil Cassady's letters. Neil, of course, being the real-life character Dean Moriarty was based on the Road. The letters were all first-person, fast, mad, confessional, completely serious and detailed, as Jack put it. Ed White, a Denver friend of Neil Cassady's, suggested Kerouac sketch events like a painter. And these two elements would transform and complete one of the most influential books of the 20th century. Our coolest song in the world this week comes from the rock and roll capital of the world, Santa Barbara, California. Please welcome to the Underground Garage stage, the Tearaways.
Only God knows where music would be without the Wrecking Crew in 63, creating a sound of unchained melody.
They were a musical clique, a kind of first call gang. Gunslingers of sound with their own kind of slang. On the poor side of town, built the first wall of sound. The crash and the boom, rock and roll filled the room. They were hot yet so cool and broke musical rules. All in demand, the best band in the land. Goes on. Mike, Tommy, and Plaz, Al, Barney, and Earl played everything from California Dreamin' to California Girl.
Chosen few, God bless the Wrecking Crew.
Of the big town, as packed with drama and danger as the squalid streets of some native quarter. In the heart of this melting pot of crime stands an oasis where one man struggles against the forces that turn his loved ones to lives of violence and shame.
Nothing else. office scene is the American dream. After that, I'll always fight. I like to get it down. I wanna drive the fastest car. I wanna drive the fastest car. Cars, girls, surfing, beer, nothing else matters here.
Cars and girls, I live for cars and girls. I live for cars and girls, cars and girls, I live for cars and girls.
There's nothing else in this crazy world except for cars and
cars and girls.
You've heard of jalopies, you've heard the noise they make, but let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, just one way. Everybody likes my Rocket 88. Baby, we'll ride in style, moving all along. Smart and designed, black convertible top, and the gals don't mind. Sporting with me, riding all around town for joy. Blow your horn, Raymond, blow! In my rocket and don't be late, baby, we're pulling out about 8:30. Going round the corner and get a feel for everybody, and my car's gonna take a little nip. Move on out, oozing and cruising along.
With our coolest song in the world this week, The Wrecking Crew, from a group called the Tearaways. They got 4 albums out, and this will be from their next one, I'm sure. Written by John Feriter, Rodney Bingenheimer, whose show I first heard this song on. This is a very cool show. John Finzit, Clem Burke, and Ron Dante. Takes a village. Write a good song these days. Produced by Ron Dante, John Feriter, and John Finzit. Get it from tearaways.com, TEARAWAYS. The Locomotion's Little Eva, the legendary DJ Dan Ingram, who I loved growing up, actually believed this record was sung by Carole King. But it was not. It was sung by Carole King's babysitter,
Eva Narcissus Boyd.
Like a bird.
Jerry Geffen and Carole King writing and producing, obviously. And what a record that is, huh? The Dictators, I Live for Cars and Girls. And I happen to know Andy Chernoff, and I happen to know that that is true. He's not speaking metaphorically or symbolically. He lives for Cars and Girls, okay? And he's damn proud of it. And so did Jackie Brinston, by the way. And his Delta Cats, a name completely made up by Sam Phillips because it was actually Ike Turner's band. And Ike, feeling generous that night, let the sax player sing one. And then he goes and gets famous from it. That piano intro by Ike Turner, copied note for note by Little Richard on Good Golly Miss Molly. Like 19 at the time. Amazing when you think about that. You know, you picture him being older always. Sam Phillips producing before he had sons, so he gave it to the Chess Brothers. Some consider that the first rock and roll record. We got more cool stuff having to do with the man that changed the world, Jack Kerouac. Come on back.
Esto es Little Steve's Underground Garage. Volvemos en un segundo en Rock FM.
Cuando te acuestes esta noche, reza para que ninguno de tus hijos te diga que quieres ser como él.
Cada mañana de 6 a 10, Rock y Diversión en Rock FM con El Pirata y su banda.
Somos Rock FM.
I need money 'cause I had none. I fall.
escuchando Little Steven's Underground Garage en Rock FM.
Bueno, familia, estamos llegando al final del Underground Garage de esta noche aquí en Rock FM, pero antes de despedirnos quería compartir algo más contigo sobre Jack Kerouac, quien, por ejemplo, escribió sobre una de sus grandes inquietudes, que era el budismo. Aquello quedó reflejado en su obra The Dharma Bums, pero las críticas hacia ella de algunos maestros zen y filósofos como Alan Watts dejaron devastado a Kerouac. Aún así, su éxito era imparable, y muchos editores le reclamaban trabajos que ya tenía escritos, pero que hasta entonces fueron rechazados. Esta nueva condición de famoso no le sentaba muy bien, y en 1958 decidió mudarse para cuidar de su madre. Un 20 de octubre del 69, Kerouac no se encontraba bien y empezó a vomitar sangre. Su mujer le llevó al hospital, donde fue intervenido, pero no se pudo hacer nada por su vida. Kerouac presentaba una avanzada cirrosis. En aquel momento se encontraba escribiendo ideas sobre una novela sobre la imprenta de su padre en Lowell. Esta noche, en el Underground Garage de Little Steven, recordamos con cariño a un genio como Jack Kerouac. Todo tuyo, Stevie.
Welcome back to the Underground Garage. Let's give a little quote here from Jack Kerouac. But when they dance down the streets like dingle-doties, and I shambled after, as I've been doing all my life, after people who interest me, because the only people for me are the mad ones, the ones who are mad to live, mad to talk, mad to be saved, desirous of everything at the same time, the ones that never yawn or say a commonplace thing, but burn, burn, burn like fabulous yellow Roman candles exploding like spiders across the stars. And in the middles, you see the blue center light pop. And everybody goes, oh, yeah. We lost Jack Kerouac October 21st, 1969, St. Petersburg, Florida. We will not see his kind again soon. Go get on the road, read it for the first time, or reread it. In a world where we are constantly distracted by these silliest irrelevancies, and while our culture drowns in mediocrity, you will be surprised at how exhilarating On the Road still is.
Son, Abe said, man, you must be putting me on. God said, no. Abe said, what? God said, you can do what you want, Abe, but the next time you see me coming, you better run. Well, Abe said, well, you want this killing done? God said, hold on, Highway 61. Sam, he had a bloody nose. Welfare department, they wouldn't give him no clothes. They asked poor Howard, where can I go? Howard said, there's only one place I know. Sam said, tell me quick, man, I got to run. Said to Louis the King, I got 40 red, white, blue shoestrings and 1,000 telephones that don't ring. Do you know where I can get rid of these things? And Louis the King said, let me think for a minute, son. Then he said, yes, I think it can be easily done. Just take everything down to Highway 61. Second mother, this has been done.
very bored, trying to create a next world war. He found a promoter who nearly fell off the floor. He said, I've never engaged in this kind of thing before, but yes, I think it can be very easily done. We'll just put some bleachers out in the sun and have it on Highway 61.
This is Bob Dylan, and we are saluting Jack Kerouac, the little Steven, in the underground garage.
Paisley in paradise, who took from everyone that we knew. Yes, he's a parasite, and he's sucking all the life out of you. I tried to warn you, girl, but I guess you didn't want to believe. And now you're on your own.
Now you're on your own.
That's the price you pay for being naive. Brian
Mr. Troglodyte. I'm sure I've seen you looking around at the primitive, all the fuss fest in the ATL town. Don't try to save your soul.
Don't try to save your soul.
It's a blasted final shallow pretense. There's nothing you can do.
Nothing you can do.
'Cause he's living for the purple weekend.
That's all I can recall of Brooklyn Bridge tonight. John A. Roebling and Washington Roebling built it, and it have cables, and it does one good to cross it every day. See my eerie wiseness? Good night, innocent children of this mortal Sangsara world. You have to keep your mind empty, tranquil, and pure, or the whole eternal light escapes you. Without the eternal light, you're only a yakking fool of rooms, beds, graves, and monuments. With it, you are like the silent mountains of snow.
With the false man that has his heels. I
Started with Highway 61 Revisited, title track of Bob's sixth album. Bob Johnson, producing. Taj Mahal, covering Dave Dudley. David Rubinson, producing. Taj Mahal had a great band, the great Jesse Ed Davis, Gary Gilmore, Chuck Blackwell, and before that, Ry Cooder was in the band too.
Paisley in Paradise. The latest from the Woggles on their innovative double single called Please Leave Me My Mind. Yeah, get it from wickedcoolrecords.com. Patrick O'Connor wrote it, and Jeff Walls and the Woggles produced it. Get it from wickedcoolrecords.com.
Go, Little Camaro, go. Joey Ramone writing it for the Ramones. Debbie Harry backing vocals. 10th album, and The Great Trucking Man by Moby Grape. Bass player Bob Mosley writing that one. And again, we got a little David Rubinson production. That was Moby Grape's third album, actually, Moby Grape 69. There were amazing things on all three. You should get them all.
Now I have to face stupid reality again.
We want to thank the Hard Rock cafes, hotels, casinos, and the Seminole coolest Indian tribe ever for being our sponsor from day one. And I want to thank all of the Hard Rock employees around the world as we stop in and do our DJ thing when we're on the road. Nicest people in the world, in addition to the best food. And someday will be a rock and roll circuit. I'm never going to give up on that. We want to thank Premier Networks, our new syndicator, Julie Talbot, Rick Bucchietti, Tanya Juhasz, and Corey Neal. Forgive the pronunciation. I'll get it right eventually. And if you're in need of any guitars or amps or tambourines, go see Andy Babuke. I want to thank our... Is Intrepid the word? Or is that an aircraft carrier? Dennis Mortensen. He'll put the show together every week in spite of the odds. Go to undergroundgarage.com if you've missed any of our last 750 shows. And Facebook and Twitter and at Stevie Van Zandt. You can talk to me personally. And thank you, Alan Freed. We'll see you all next week.
And that's the name of that tune.
Ciao, baby.
Nice ride.
Come back to Jersey, you moron!
That's entertainment.
Bueno, familia, llegamos ahora sí que sí al final del Underground Garage de esta noche. Espero que hayas disfrutado del programa de Little Steven. Esta noche, sobre todo, hemos recorrido un poco la vida y obra de un genio de la literatura como fue el señor Jack Kerouac. Yo soy Carlos Medina, un gustazo haberte acompañado un domingo más en el Underground Garage y te emplazo, por supuesto, a que nos encontremos dentro de una semana aquí nuevamente. Buenas noches. Little, descansa.